Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? Good, good, good. I'm actually doing a little bit better than I thought because my son, every now and then he chooses not to sleep. Every now and then he's like, Dad, I want to hang with you at night sometimes to chill and play. So last night, he did so good last night. I was so proud of him last night. He actually let that get some sleep. But you guys be praying for us. You know, guys know my wife is expecting, and two of them. So that's exciting. We were truly excited about that. She got two more weeks and plus a little over 2 weeks or just 2 weeks. But it's been exciting. It's been great. God has been so amazing. My 3-year-old boy is growing so fast. I can't believe. Oh my God, he just turned 3 like about 2 weeks ago, and he's acting like he's the man of the house. I mean, he's actually starting to correct me, you know? I'm like, so daddy, no, that's not how mommy does it. He said, son, this is how I want to do it, you know? And then you guys know that I can sing. I share this with some of the parents. We were driving to a midweek one time. I was really, really singing. I got into it. One of my favorite songs. I was singing really, really hard. My son started crying at the backseat. I said, son, dude, is everything okay? Why are you crying? He said, daddy, please stop singing. That was on Wednesday. On Sunday, there was a new song that Ian and the guys would put up on the screen. I was trying so hard to learn how to sing this song. Really hard. The next thing I heard, my wife burst into laugh. She just died laughing when I was singing. I said, what's so funny? She doesn't like my singing either. My whole family just don't like the way I sing. It's okay, and I still love you. Even though my singing, it was actually a very difficult song. But I was either trying to read the words of the song or try to sing it. You know, I just like, just read it if you want to. But this morning, I am so grateful to be here, to be able to share the gospel with you guys. Many of you guys know me. My name is Uchenna. I'm Banuzwe. My wife, Nine, serving an awesome, amazing team ministry, along with other co-leaders that I have. And I am so excited to see my graduates. Oh, my goodness. You know, one of the sad things about being in team ministry is this, when you get them at that point where they're actually doing something that you want them to do, doing so well, then they graduate and then they leave you. You have to start all over again, you know. But I'm so proud of these guys. They are such an amazing group of young men and young women that I'm looking forward to see what God will do with their lives. Again, once more, congrats, guys. You guys are awesome. Love you guys. My message this morning came from something that has been really in my heart a lot lately. It's not because I'm great at it, because I'm terrible at it. I truly believe that three of the greatest things that the disciples learned from Christ, three things that I truly believe that they got out from this man after being with him for 33 years. Number one was, they recognize his relationship with God. They recognize that this man cannot do what he does without his walk with God. And they follow that footstep. The second thing that they learned from this man named Jesus was the way that he served. The way that he bent down, he got on his knees and gave to those who were in need. And the last thing, the third thing that I truly believe that the disciples got from this man was how desperate Jesus was to save lives, to seek and save the lost. I truly believe that those three things, the disciples got it, they embraced it, and they ran with it. And through that, God used them to change the world. I truly believe that if we can have that mindset, a relationship with God, the way we serve one another, not just one another, but people out there in the world that are hurting, that we will go after the lost. And the one that I really wanted to focus on this morning is how Jesus went about the lost. I truly believe that the first century disciples, you know, our theme for this year is one heart and one mind. There is one area that I truly believe that the first century disciples got it. They were much, much more unified. They have one heart and one mind in doing whatever it takes to search and rescue those that are lost. They got it. In Matthew 10, the title of my sermon this month is Who is your One More? I will show you a clip in the video later on where I got the title from, Who is your One More? In Matthew 10, 6 to 8, say, go right out to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Then down to verse 16 in Matthew 10. Verse 16 says, I am sending you out like a sheep among the wolves. Reminding them that this isn't going to be an easy mission. That some of you will lose your life in a search to rescue those that are lost. And we all know how many of them died in their search to rescue those that are lost. I don't know about you. It is always an ancient moment, just anxious moment, especially when a family member or someone that you know find out that someone they know is missing in the wilderness. Search and rescue team spring into action. It is a moment of a great joy if they find that person alive and well. But also a time of great sorrow when they are too late. Can you truly imagine being lost in the wood and no one came looking for you? Can you imagine? You know, I was at the gas station the other day, not too long ago, and I look on there was a post on the wall that listed all the missing people. And then I look a little bit further more into it, and it says that there's about 900,000 people reported missing each year in the United States alone. That's a lot of people. And 50,000 of those people are those of age of 18 up. The rest of them are kids and teenagers. I wonder what these guys were thinking. Is anyone looking for me? Have they forgotten me? Have they moved on with their lives? When I saw those lists, those names, I honestly, my heart just went after these people. I can't imagine what it's like if my son is missing and I can't find him. You know, there was a story about a young girl who has been missing for years. And when she was finally found, she said one thing. She said, throughout the whole time I was kidnapped, I was praying and hoping that my parents would not give up on me, that they would find me. After so many years, she was found. And today she's helping so many people to recover who can relate to what she went through. Therefore, I want to remind you this morning, if you are a man or woman of God, you are a part of God's search and rescue team. That's who you are. I don't know if you know that or not, but that is who you are. All around us today are people that are wounded. Broken people, people that are not like us, lost and confused. Looking for the meaning of life, seeking for happiness in all the wrong places. And God is calling you and I to search and rescue these people. In Ezekiel 34, God was not very happy with his people. He was very, very disturbed in what the people were doing. The fact that is, no one was searching or looking. He got really upset. In Ezekiel 34, 1-6, said, the word of Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherd of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the servant Lord says. Woe to the shepherd of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherd take care of the flocks? You eat the curds, clothe yourself with the wolves, and slaughter the choice animal, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. In verse 5 it says, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the animals. It says, my sheep wandered over all the mountains. On every hill, they were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. No one. What was the problem here? They got caught up with their own busy life. They really did. Something that we can relate to today in our world. You know, we get up in the morning and get ready for work. You go to work all day long. You come home 5, 6. You gotta take care of your family. You gotta feed them. You gotta take your son to the basketball practice. You gotta take your journey to the football game. I mean, you just go and go and go. Before you know it, you go back to sleep again. The next morning, you repeat the same cycle. But not once do you say, "Wait a minute. Who did I reach out today? Who?" If God would look at your life right now, would he be pleased in your search for the lost? Would he be sad? You know, I'm trying to encourage my mom to come to U.S., to come and see my children. She was so excited in coming, but she said, son, let me tell you, I'm just coming to see your kid. I don't want to stay in America. My mom is probably the only woman from Nigeria that does not want to be in America. She said, all you guys do in America is your work, you pay a bill. You guys don't know how to have fun. You stress me out. And she even says, son, I can tell because you don't even return my phone calls. Some of you guys can probably tell, you don't even return my phone calls too. And I said, mom, and she was right. When she calls, I say, mom, I can't talk right now. I'm busy. You know, and I had to apologize to my mom so many times. Mom, I'm so sorry for not making time for you because I was too busy with my own personal life. And I can relate, even the fact that even though I was serving here in the Charlotte church, you think that I should share my faith with 1,000 people a day. It's not like that either. I have done a great job in that area myself. Today I repented. There's a couple people in my neighborhood. I'm trying, I'm searching, I'm reaching out to my wife, and I was praying for them and trying to have them over for a house for them. So we were repenting and trying to shift our focus and take the focus off of myself and put my focus on God. Where's your focus right now? As you go through your day, what is the one thing that you focus on the most? there's one thing that drives you. We've got busy people. We really are busy people in this country. We're so busy. Sometimes we're trying to spend time with God while we're driving. Oh, we're at the red light. This is a good time to read and pray right now. I'm at the stoplight. You pull out your phone to try to read something quick before it turns green. I've done that before a few times myself. Because you're so busy. Some of us are so busy, we don't have enough time to spend with God or even with our own kid. We need to prioritize our time and think what really matters the most to God. You know what else I'm learning? That the search and rescue the lost is not an easy mission, because Jesus told the disciples from the beginning, hey, I am sending you to the wolves. Wolves and sheep don't get along. They eat each other. They literally eat the sheep. That's what the wolf does. It's not going to be easy. You know, during 9/11, about 414 first responder search and rescue team were killed. About 2,000 of them were injured. They put their life on the line to search and rescue. You know the thing about it? They don't even know these people. It's not like they run into a fallen building to rescue their brothers and sisters, but these are strangers. This is the heart that God is looking for. A man and a woman who are willing to sacrifice and put their life on the line to help just save one more. I have a video clip I want to show you quick. This is one of my favorite movies of all. Out of all the war movies, this one is probably one of my favorite. It's such a cool clip. I don't know, many of you guys have seen Hacksaw Ridge. It's just a great movie.
One more.
If you haven't seen it, go see it. I don't recommend it for the little children. It's pretty intense. Who is your one more? That's the question you have to ask yourself this morning. Do you have that one more that you're trying to save? Desmond Doss, his life is incredible. He saved 75 men in 12 hours cycle, nonstop. 75 men, including his captain, without a weapon. Never carried his gun. They were making fun of him because he chose not to go to a war with a gun. And today, he's one of the greatest heroes of all time. Lord, help me to save one more. Do you have one more in your life right now? Do you have one more? And I want to encourage you. They're out there because God said they're scattered all over the earth. They are not at one place. They could be anywhere. I think the thing is that we're not willing to make the sacrifice. That's the thing that I feel like me myself, we're not willing to put the effort to lay down our life or give up or do whatever it takes. A man risks his entire life, not knowing that every time he runs back into the battlefield, he may not come back alive. God, help me to get one more. God never promised us, a disciple, that being a fisherman was going to be easy. You hear about Paul in 2 Corinthians 11. I am more, starting verse 23. I am more. I have worked much harder, being in prison more frequent, being flogged more severely, being exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times, I can go on. Paul went through so much just to save just one more. We need to ask ourselves, are we willing to get out of our comfortable zone and do something that will make us feel uncomfortable in order to rescue those who are lost? You know, God made a remarkable promise to us. And when we do those things, there's a reward for us. In Proverbs 24, 11, you can read that on your own. God said, there's a reward for those of us who will sacrifice and make time to find my people. There was a story of a rich man, a very wealthy man. She had one daughter, and one day the daughter was missing. He said, I'll give half of my wealth if anyone can find my little girl. Think about how much more God will give you if you can just make that sacrifice and find our brothers and sisters who are lost. The second point, what is it going to take for us to search and rescue these people? So it took a lot of prayer. Because this is a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6:12, we are wrestling with a spiritual battle. There's nothing you and I can do to save a single soul if God is not the main focus. We should always consult God whenever we're going to spread his message. We should always do that. In 1 Corinthians 3, 6 to 7, remember God says we water and we plant and he makes it grow. If God makes it grow, maybe we should pray more. Maybe we should pray more for the people that we're reaching out to. Because no amount of things that you can do to save your people unless we get on our knees and beg God for their souls. And it goes on in Acts 4:23. You can read that on your own, 23 to 24, and then verse 29. This is when Peter and John just got released from the prison from preaching the gospel. And when they came out, they realized, man, this is bigger than us. We can't do this alone. There's no way this can happen. So what they did was, they got with all the disciples, kind of like their family group, and they prayed and begged God. And where they're praying, the building started shaking, and God heard their prayers. Man, did they preach the gospel that day or what? Again, the power of prayer is what's going to change the man and the woman that you're trying to search and rescue. We got to pray for them. In Ephesians 6, 19 to 20, Paul asked the disciples to pray for him so that he will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel to the lost. Who is praying for the people that you're reaching out to today? Who is praying for those guys that you're trying to search and rescue? You know, in a family group, honestly, one of the things that there was back then in the church where, you know, when somebody would bring out a church to a visitor, I mean, everybody literally want to meet your visitor, want to study with them, want to get with them, want to do things with them. I don't see that anymore. If you and your family group and your friends bring somebody out to visit the church in your family group, every single person in that family group should get to know that person. This is not a one person or one man or one woman mission. We must work together as a family of God in order for us to make this happen. The first century disciples, one of the beautiful things I love about this guy, they worked together as a family. They did everything together, and you know what? God blessed it. It wasn't like, well, you brought him, you studied with him, you take care of him. No, they brought somebody in, the entire church took care of that person. And they grew powerfully. In this video you just saw it, you notice he was praying to God. He couldn't do it without God. He said, God, please help me get one more. God, please help me get one more. That might not be a bad prayer to pray when you leave your house in the morning. Say, God, today, help me to get one more. Help me to save one more. Just one more today, God. Who is it going to be? Help me to get one more. My last point here. God search for us. Look over in Matthew. Matthew 13, verse 44. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. You know, when I used to read that scripture, and it goes on a little farther down. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for a fine pearl. When he found one great valley, he went away and sold everything he had and bought that, and bought it. That, I used to think that passage was talking about me searching for God, giving up everything that I had. But this is God search for you and I. The field is the earth, and we got the treasure in it. And God sent his son. God will do whatever it takes to search and rescue you and I. It was Jesus who purchased us, who bought us with his blood. There's nothing you and I can do to earn our way to earn our way to heaven. There's nothing you can give up. It was God searching for you and I. In Luke 19:10, He said, I came to seek and to save the lost. Again, Jesus' ultimate goal is to find us, to rescue us. In 1 Timothy 2:4, he says, God wants all men to be saved. In 2 Peter 3:9, he does not want anybody to perish. This is God's desperate search for us. God love for us is so intense that we can't even comprehend it or even grasp it. That's how much his love, how deep his love is for us. There is no pain, there's no suffering, there's nothing that God will not go through just to find one of you. What about you? Is God still searching for you? Or has he found you? If you have not made that decision to follow Christ, I want you to know that he's not going to give up on you. He's going to keep searching for you. He's going to keep knocking at your door until the day that you turn your life over to him or the day you died. That's how much he loves you. So much more. And you know what? I give up my son for you. If this is what it's going to take to save you, I'll give him up for you. Right. And he did. It was his love for you and I that drove him to rescue us. Can you imagine what would have happened if guys say, you know what? I'm done with them. He's God. He could have recreated the whole, he could have do it all over again. It took him 7 days. Didn't take him a lot. He did it before. The entire world was destroyed except seven people. But this time he said, no, I'm going to rescue them this time. I'll send my son. And I really hope that this morning, just as his love has drove him to save us, I really hope and pray that God's love for us this morning and your love for him will drive you to seek and save those who are lost. I mean, really gonna ask yourself, man, if we truly love God that deeply, then we will have the desire, the passion for the same thing that he has. And God's greatest desires, his number one greatest desires, is to have all of us with him in heaven. He does not want to lose any of us. And I really pray that we will just grasp that concept and really allow that to inspire us and move us to go out there and say, God, who is the next person you want me to rescue? You know, there was a story about, we're going to also way back in 1996 when this happened. It was on February 10, in 1996. A 38-year-old security guard at the Pennsylvania Middle School convinced the 14-year-old Tanya to leave her father and to live with him. For the next 10 years, the security guard kept Tanya in the home he shared with his elderly parent. Throughout the years after Tanya's disappearance, her father desperately tried to find her. He posted her pictures in several thousand times on the flyers and milk cartons to keep her from running away. Tanya's captor convinced her that no one cared that she's gone, that she was gone. Her parents weren't even looking for her. He told her, you are stupid, you are immature, nobody cares about you but me. Eventually, the security guard became so confident in her loyalty to him that he allowed her to leave the house for a short period of time while he was at work. Through these daily excursions, China became a friend with Joseph, the owner of the local deli mat. In March of 2006, Tanya finally confessed her true identity to Joseph, who shared the information with his son, a retired police officer. Before long, Tanya was rescued and reunited with her father. Commenting on this, on the girl's situation, Joseph said, "She wanted it to be wanted, that is all." Tanya's father, Jerry, was so overjoyed to see her. It was exactly 10 years, 1 month and 11 days. He said, "And there wasn't a day that went by I didn't think of you, of her. I just say, thank you, there is a God. And he brought my little girl back home." Tanya, too, was so delighted to learn that her father had never given up looking for her. He's crying, I'm crying. All he kept saying was, "I got my baby." She said, describing their reunion, "I'm touching blood. And I get to say, I love you, Dad. Who is your one more? Who is that person that you're trying to search and rescue?" And I really pray that we can go back to our life and look at our schedules and look at the way that we function each day and ask of yourself, how much of my time do I invest in search for those men and women who are lost? Every day people are dying without God. Just like every day, more and more of those children, the men and women that were not rescued, some were found dead. It was too late. The same thing applies to our spiritual life. There are so many people today that are dying because we didn't get there on time to rescue them. And I really hope that today's message is somehow, somewhere, move you to the point where, you know what? I'm going to start searching. I'm going to start looking. I'm going to make that part of my daily life and search and rescue for those who are lost. For God be the glory. Amen.